Welcome back. Here with the news at 1 on RTE Radio 1. A further 21 cases of suspected physical or sexual assault of residents at a community nursing unit have been referred to Gardaí, according to the HSE. The referrals were made as part of investigations into the HSE-run nursing home after a care worker there was convicted of the rape of a resident, an elderly woman given the pseudonym Emily, in 2020. Last month, our correspondent Alva Keneally reported that a review by the National Independent Review Panel, which reviews the most serious incidents in services run by the HSE, found 9 other residents had alleged incidents of rape and sexual assault by the same healthcare worker, and 2 more of physical assault, but that none of the incidents were followed up in accordance with HSE safeguarding policy. That report is published today, along with a HSE safeguarding review, which found that, quote, reasonable grounds for concern in relation to physical or sexual assault for 21 residents were found. Bernard Gloucester is here. He's CEO of the HSE. You're very welcome to the news at 1 today.
Good afternoon, Gavin.
First of all, before we get into what the reviews have found about the number of cases, how could this happen? How could an elderly woman be raped in a HSE-run nursing home by a man who was paid to look after her when there have been several allegations of sexual assault by other people in the same home against the same man, and that, according to the review panel, that they weren't believed, reported on or followed up on?
Yeah, it seems almost unbelievable and quite shocking. Can I start today, Gavin, again by saying publicly that I want to again restate our most sincere apology to Emily's family, and indeed to the families of over 22,000 people, older people who are in nursing home care across Ireland today, whom I have no doubt since this story first emerged last month. Have concern, and I want to recognise that concern, and I want to say that we're doing everything we can to ensure the best levels of safeguarding. I met Emily's family last week, and I think for them the one thing they're very clear about is they want their privacy respected, but they're very happy for the issues to be talked about because they're important, and they do want to make sure also that Emily's life isn't defined by this dreadful crime that was visited on her.
She's now deceased. She has
passed away, and by all accounts from her family, she was a much loved mum and grandmum. I think in the question of how this could happen, I think that's a very pertinent question. It seems to me, I've spoken to the safeguarding expert that I brought in from Northern Ireland, Jackie McElroy, because I don't think we fully understand what's happening here, but I did speak with her as recently as yesterday evening, and you know, she is very clear that in the nature of this particular crime, that the person who committed this crime, who's now serving a custodial sentence, and rightly so, essentially was able to groom and manipulate a system to the point that he was able to commit this dreadful and most heinous act on an old woman who had lived her life, and in the place she should have felt the most safe, she came to the greatest harm. And there's no point in us trying to resile from that in any way. It's quite shocking.
Okay, we know now that a further 21 files, in addition to Emily, met the safeguarding threshold for referral to the Gardaí. Yet, 3 years after the rape of Emily, it's unclear how many files of residents to whom the man he's referred to here as Mr. Z had access have been reviewed to identify past harm. Now, at a minimum, can you at least assure the public today that all of the files of all of the residents living in the unit in 2020 at the time of the rape were reviewed by the safeguarding and protection social work team?
So what the safeguarding team did when they went in, they do what's called a case management approach to individual cases. They identified about 70-something files using a particular methodology. They got to review 35 of those by the time they had referred 22 to the Gardaí. That work was very protracted, took a dreadfully long time.
So there could be more?
There absolutely could be more indicators of concern that would emerge. So this is why I've asked Jackie McElroy one specific question. I've given her 2 terms of reference, and the first is exactly that. Despite the very good work of the National Independent Review Panel and our safeguarding team in the area and the many fine staff working in this public unit, I've asked Jackie McElroy to tell me whether or not I need to go back and look at every file since this person was employed in the service.
Why weren't all the files reviewed?
It it essentially started with looking back at a period of time.
70 files. Why weren't all 70 reviewed?
Because of time, essentially, okay. In relation to the work they were doing. And then there were efforts to want to bring the work to some conclusion to understand what happened there versus the wish of the safeguarding team to continue to do more.
So there could be more than 21. And as you've mentioned, you've appointed an external safeguarding expert, Jackie McElroy, in part to advise if a further examination of individual records is required to identify past harm. Now, the Irish Association of Social Workers sent us a statement today advising that this advice should already be routinely available to the HSE through their own expert safeguarding social work teams. The Brandon report stated that expert safeguarding social work advice was disregarded by HSE management, and we were promised learning in light of this. Did the safeguarding and protection teams request examination of further files in the Emily case, and did the HSE management support or disregard such requests?
My understanding is the view of the safeguarding staff in that particular area wanted and desired to review more files. And the challenge, I think, for the management in the area was to also try to bring to some point of conclusion, even if it was interim conclusion, an understanding of what was at issue here. Because you have to remember, this happened in 2020. This is 2023. And us reporting and learning from and indeed being publicly accountable for something after 3 years is of itself a concern that it's taking us that long. So there's the challenge between the length of time it takes to do this work and then wanting to arrive at some point of conclusion. What I'm very clear about is any concern the safeguarding team had, they will have absolute and do have full access to Jackie McElroy. They, like her, are professionals, and whatever she tells me is required, that will happen. The other thing I do want to say today is I think there has been a view around how importantly does the HSE view safeguarding. And social workers would repeatedly say, apart from structures and staff, what's the culture of safeguarding in the organisation? And I'm very clear in my commitment to that. And I will be. I'm redesigning the new structure of the HSE, which I'm sure you've heard in other bulletins. I will be appointing a chief social worker with direct and specific responsibility for safeguarding, not just of older people in our care, but people with a disability and also people living at home. We have to move to a very different place. We have to recognise that older people, there are people in our society who have a predisposition to abuse older people, and we have a clear responsibility to protect them.
You say in your statement that you're satisfied that this is a clear indicator that the approach to safeguarding in this facility was in many ways of a poor standard, despite the fact that many very good staff work there. In the HSE's own adult safeguarding policy, institutional abuse is defined as occurring within residential care and acute settings, including nursing homes, and may involve poor standards of care, rigid routines, and inadequate responses to complex needs. Do you accept that residents experienced institutional abuse in their HSE-run nursing home here when staff ignored their reports of sexual abuse?
It would be so wrong of me to say anything different. The reality is that many fine staff working in this nursing home, and I think it's really important to emphasise that, they were very traumatised after this incident. But the culture, the informed learning, the very over-medical approach to the model of care in the nursing home, all of that contributed to a situation where simply basic indicators were repeatedly missed.
So it was institutional abuse?
As far as I'm concerned, leaving aside intentional or unintentional, what else could we call it?
Separately, Bernard Gloucester, the National Children's Hospital in the news recently because of several delays and costs overrun. When do you expect it to be open to patients now?
So I think, as you've heard in the last couple of weeks, there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. There are very sensitive discussions taking place between the Paediatric Hospital Development Board and BAM. I've met with the Paediatric Hospital Development Board. I've visited the site. We need, as do the board, a compliant, realistic, time-bound completion plan from the contractor. I'm very hopeful that that's going to come and come shortly, and I wouldn't want to try to interfere with the process or cause any additional strains on the process.
Do you have an update?
I don't at this time, other than our expectation clearly from the contractor on the last plan was early of 2024.
Will it be next year?
I'm waiting to see what the time-bound compliant plan would be. You've already heard indications that it's shoving out towards the winter, and we're going to have to look at that and see what happens in the coming weeks. But I hope in the coming weeks we'll resolve it.
Bernard Gloucester, CEO of the HSE, thank you very much for coming into our studio today. Anyone affected by this story and concerned about sexual assault, you can contact the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre at 1800 77 88 88.